Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. She is a gift from God. Your wives are a gift from God. Proverbs 18, Solomon said, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, one thing we need to understand, husbands are the head of their home. But their leadership, the leadership of the husband, is never to be tyrannical. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:7, give honor to your wife. We are to esteem her highly. We are to give her value. We don't lord it over her, threatening her in some way, in order to get our own way. We value her, we honor her, and we respect her. Not only for herself, but because God is the one who brought her along to be our helper. We love our wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, what did Christ give for his church? What kind of love did Christ show for the church? He gave his life. He stepped down from unbelievable glory to take on a cloak of human flesh for the church. You know, we may never be put in a situation that motivates us to step in front of a bullet for our wives. But most husbands say that they would. Some don't. Most do. We think about heroics. We think about those types of situations. But more often, what we are required to give is not sensational, but it is a lot tougher. It is a lot tougher. We are responsible, guys, for our wife's spiritual care. We make sure that she's in corporate worship, but we also care for her at home. We are involved with our wives in prayer and in Bible reading together. We do those things. Too often, a little bit often is too often. I've seen people who have gotten married that have forgotten they were married. We see, what we don't see is Jesus telling the church, hey, you go do what you want. I'm having a night with the guys. By the same token, we don't see the church saying, hey, Jesus, take it easy tonight. We're going to the mall. We're going to flit around, see what's going on. Go window shopping. Understand there's nothing evil in and of those things in particular. Where the problem comes in is when that becomes our preoccupation, the preoccupation with ourselves, that we are, in fact, selfish people. God has given us this rich blessing of a wife, and we care more about what we want to do than what we need to do for our wife and for our families. Jesus gave everything he had for the church, in obedience to his Father. Faith in Christ and love for him strengthens us to do the things that we need to do. How many times have you set out to do I've got a great idea. This is what I'm going to do. Confession is good for the soul. I'll confess to you tonight. Don't worry, it's nothing major. My wife and I used to have a beautiful devotional time every morning. We would sit together and read the Word, and we would pray together. We'd have heart-to-heart discussions. I would instruct her. She would not listen. No, that's not true. That's not true either. But those were beautiful times. My hours changed. And so, basically, we don't see each other. Which was why I insisted upon getting Friday off. I had people say, well, would you consider taking a different day off? I said, no, because Friday is my wife's day off, and I want to be off on that day. You know? Now, have my wife and I resumed? Here's the confession part. No, we have not, but we're going to. What do you got to do, guys? How elaborate do you have to be to have a special time with your wife? Actually, not at all. You know what you need to do? If you say, I don't know what to do, this is what you do. You pick up your Bible. You open to a passage. And you read 5 or 10 verses. You close the book and you say a prayer with each other. And unless you're really long-winded in your prayer, you haven't even passed 5 minutes. You just spent a few minutes. But you see, you have to start somewhere. You have to begin. And as husbands, we have an obligation to our wife to care for them, to bring them along, to do our part in sanctifying them. And that's where we start. We love our wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, back up to verse 22. Ladies, love this one. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Women hate that verse in general. They have such a negative reaction to the idea of being in submission to anybody. And that includes some Christian women. Why is there such a visceral response to the idea of being in submission to one's own husband? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Back in Genesis, third chapter, after the fall, God pronounced some curses. He cursed the serpent. He cursed the ground. Adam was no longer going to be able to have a cakewalk through the Garden of Eden. How hard was the work to tend to a garden without weeds? How hard could that have been? But the fall produced the curse. And on Eve, upon the woman, part of the curse was that her childbearing would become more painful. But in the 16th verse of chapter 3, he says, your desire shall be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, the word desire in that verse does not mean that you're laying there on your belly with goo-goo eyes at him. Because that wouldn't be a curse. That'd be a good... Come on, guys. We would all love it if our wives would just sit there and look at us and say, oh, you're so dreamy. I just love you so much. That's not what that means. What it means is that her desire is to want his authority. She will not be content with her husband as the head of the home. And contention within the bonds of that family will now be a natural thing. Secondly, this scripture has been abused by ignorant men who sought unlawful power. Men have gone around and literally have tried to put all women under their thumbs. And that's not what this is saying. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands. It doesn't say, Laura, submit to me. It doesn't say that. If you thumb your nose at me, I'll bring you up on charges. But, no, I keep forgetting this is recorded. People who listen online are not going to have a clue what I'm talking about. So if you have no clue, come to church and learn. Submission to God's order in the house is a source of protection, and it keeps you from persecution in that situation. It's not to be persecution. Women are not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Every single one of us, men and women, come to salvation the same way. What did Jesus teach us in John 6? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's how we come to Christ. Man or woman, we come to Christ the exact same way. In the kingdom of God, when this world is over, there is no such... This is bizarre to me. I can't comprehend it yet. But there's no such thing as male or female. See, we're humans. We have finite minds. We have things that we're used to or we're accustomed to. I can't get it. You mean I won't be in heaven seeing my wife, knowing she was my wife, and Pastor Greg says, no. In fact, you won't even want to hunt her up. You'll be so involved with the praise of the Lord and in his glory, you won't even care if she's there. I mean, you'll care, but you won't care. You know what I'm saying? Sort it out later. Fact of the matter is, all too frequently, it is the lady of the house who is spiritually more astute than the man. Sometimes, counsel against, notwithstanding, a Christian girl will marry an unbeliever. Or, two unbelievers will marry, and she becomes born again. Again, looking back at Peter, he tells us that her conduct in the marriage, her willingness to submit to her husband, her obedience to him, her diligence in obeying the law of God and her husband as far as she can might be the thing that serves to make the gospel open to him. Still, we discourage mixed marriages of that nature. Unequal yokes. And then we do that based on what we've already discussed. Genesis 2. Eve was created to be a helper. A wife is not there simply to take commands, but to be a help in all areas of life. It's not a problem. You may ask your wife to bring you a cup of coffee. That's cool. That's fine. No problem there. I think I would hesitate to demand that she bring you a cup of coffee. You would like to receive the coffee in the cup. She's not there to be your doormat. She's not there for you to walk on. She's there to be your helper, one who is comparable to you. She works in sync with you. You know, it's true, the longer that you're married, the more deeply you know the other person. You'll know what the other person thinks about a certain thing just because you've been there. You've been around. Early on, you might think you know what they think. Steel shelving is not the gift for the 30th anniversary. Let me just give you the heads up now, guys. Steel shelving is not it. You might think that's what she wants. It's not so. But you do work together. You do find yourself on the same page. You know, I've told you a dozen times. In my house, I pay the bills. I write the checks. She checks my math. Every month the statement comes, and she tells me, we're right on, right to the penny. Or, hey, you missed this one here. You know, I think there's a $10 error there. Well, is it to the good or to the bad? To the good. Yes. Then we're good. You work together. But remember this, God brought the wife along as a helper. She is not to be carrying the entire load. Marriage is almost never a 50-50 proposition. Almost never. More times than not, the lady of the house is going to carry a bigger burden in the house. She doesn't carry the burden of spiritual responsibility. That's the husband's job. But you know what? How many homes would cease to function if the wife wasn't doing something? You don't just go to the closet and find clean clothes growing. They get there somehow. You don't go to the cupboard and pull down clean dishes because they reproduced. That doesn't work that way. Somebody's doing something. Your wife is a precious gift from God who does a lot of things, carries a big load. I'll wrap this up. We'll get done early tonight. We go down to the end of the chapter of Ephesians, almost. The 32nd verse, he says, "This is a great mystery, for I speak concerning Christ and the church." He's gone through all this. He concludes his instructions to the husbands and to the wives, and he makes this statement. He says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." He did not invalidate everything that he had just taught. He didn't say, "Hey, did you like that? Was that fitting with your theology? Was that getting in there?" Because, I was only kidding. It wasn't real. It's all just a big picture. That's not what he was saying at all. He did not invalidate the teaching that he just gave. But what he did do was tell us to consider the bigger picture. We have an object lesson, you know, in this life. Those who are married have this special object lesson that says, you know what? This is how Christ and his church are supposed to function. You have opportunity for that. When one or the other of us fails, you have opportunity to fix that. Our marriage is a picture of Christ and his bride. Christ has given all to secure his bride. He works with us daily to sanctify, to purify through his word, that one day he can present to himself a bride without blemish. The church gladly submits itself to him. Her loving husband. The church submits herself to her own husband and nobody else in that situation. What we find in Christ truly is a marriage made in heaven. I just give you that to think about. I'm done. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that we've had this evening. I ask you, Lord God, that we can take the seriousness of the subject, that we can really understand what our roles are in this life as husbands and wives, and how it relates to the bigger picture of how we are as a part of the church with you as our husband. I pray, Lord God, that we would work harder daily to become to increase the sanctification process. Help us as husbands, Lord God, to daily take time with our wives, to pray with them, to read the scripture with them, even if it's only a few minutes to start. But let us start. Let us do something along that path. Strengthen us, Lord. Grant us wisdom in those times. Help us to know where to look for the answers that we have deep within the pages of your word. And I thank you for that. Bless these folks tonight, Lord God. I thank you for their diligence in coming out each night. And I just ask you to bless them. I pray that their efforts will be returned to them abundantly. I thank you for that. Bless all as they make their way home this evening. And Lord, prepare us even now to come together on Sunday for worship. I thank you for it. Amen.